The book of Deuteronomy ends with three of the great mountain peaks of Scripture. In chapter 32, you have the Song of Moses. In chapter 33, you have the blessing of Moses. And here in chapter 34, you have the death of Moses. And something of the significance of this death can be gathered from the fact that it is mentioned no less than in four passages of the Old Testament. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 34, but also earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 32 from the 48th verse onwards, and even earlier still in Deuteronomy chapter 3 from the 23rd verse onwards, and even earlier still you'll read about the death of Moses in the book of Numbers in chapter 27 from the 12th verse onwards. And the question does arise, why all this interest in the Bible in the death of Moses? What was so special and significant about this one death? And the truth is, the death of Moses points away from itself and presages and prophesies a more significant and a more important death. And that is the significance of the death of Moses. Let me just explain this. In the New Testament, in the book of Jude, at the 9th chapter, we read about the archangel Michael and Satan having an argument about the body of Moses. And it seems that although Moses was buried in an unknown grave, Satan had discovered where the body was, and he wanted to claim the body of Moses. And so in Jude, at verse 9, we read about Michael the archangel and the devil having an argument about the body of Moses. And the question again arises, why did Satan want the body of Moses? And one very reasonable answer to that question is this. Satan wanted the body of Moses because he did not want Moses to speak with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember in that incident in the Gospels, Jesus is seen speaking with Moses and Elijah on top of the mountain. And Luke tells us that Jesus was discussing with Moses and Elijah the Exodus which he should afterwards accomplish at Jerusalem. And that is the parallel between Moses and Jesus, and between what Moses did and what Jesus has done. Just as Moses in the Old Testament led a people out of Egypt, a nation redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, so Jesus is the second Moses, and he leads out a new exodus, a new going out of the Egypt of our sin and our bondage, and he leads out the redeemed New Testament church. And that is partly the significance of the death of Moses. And this really explains why this one man's death is mentioned in detail in four places in the Old Testament. This is a death that points forwards to the argument of Michael and Satan about the body. And that points forwards to the Mount of Transfiguration. And that points forwards to the Exodus, which Christ, the second Moses, and the greater than Moses, accomplished in his death. But the significance of Moses' death can also be seen in another area. If you go behind the surface of the verse, you find that there are two very unusual and startling features about the death of Moses. And the first is this: you would not have expected Moses to die then, even though he was 120 years old. Because Deuteronomy 34 and 7 tells us that Moses was 120 years old when he died, but his eye was not dim, nor was his natural force abated. In other words, his vision was excellent, even at the age of 120. When we get beyond 50 and 60 and 70, we start talking about the need for cataract operations and about detached retinas and failing eyesight, and we mumble about the need for bifocals. But there was none of this with Moses. His eye was not dim. His sight was in great condition. And what is more, the Bible tells us he was in excellent physical order. His natural force was not abated. He was a sturdy 120 year old. One cannot help comparing Moses with Sir Winston Churchill in his declining years. After Churchill's death, you know that his personal physician was rather naughty and wrote a book about the great man. And he used an unforgettable phrase about Churchill. He spoke about the crumbling giant. The crumbling giant. And that was the picture that can be formed of Winston in his latter years. The slowing down of a big dinosaur. The bent old man with the hunched shoulders and the shaky walk and the private nurse always hovering on the horizon. But there was none of that with Moses. His sight was clear, and he was in excellent physical condition. And although he was 120, you would not have expected him to die at that point. He was fit for more life, but he died then. The second thing of significance about the death of Moses is this. We read, Moses, the servant of the Lord, in verse 5, died according to the word of the Lord. Now, if you know the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus in the New Testament, you may recognize in that phrase, Moses died according to the word of the Lord, a hint of the song of Simeon in Luke's Gospel. You recall that Mary and Joseph had taken the eight-day-old Jesus to the temple for dedication. And there the aged Simeon, who had been waiting in the temple for years for God to send the consolation of Israel to his people, he lifted up the baby and he recited the song that we call the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And there it is. And the picture there is of a sentry on duty, because apparently that word depart is the word that was used in the army in those days for dismissing a soldier. And the sentry is on duty through the long night, and the dawn comes at last and his shift is over, and the commander comes and dismisses the sentry from duty. And that's the word that Simeon uses. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And there it is again. Simeon died according to the word of the Lord. And that's what said of Moses. He died according to the word of the Lord. And this is something that comes out very vividly in the account of Moses' death in Deuteronomy chapter 32 at verse 48. Listen to these words. The Lord said to Moses that very day, ascend this mountain and view the land of Canaan, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people. Climb the hill and die. That's what God said to Moses. Climb the hill and die. And Moses died according to the word of the Lord. And that's the second significant thing about his death. It was according to the word of the Lord. And in fact, that came as no surprise to Moses. And it ought not to come as any surprise to us, because that was how Moses had lived. Time and time again, we read that Moses did according to the word of the Lord. That was how he ordered his life, according to the word of the Lord. That was how he lived. And that was how he died. Because most men die as they live. That was how he lived. And that was how he died. Let me give you an illustration of this from the book of Exodus, where we have a long description of the construction of the tabernacle for Old Testament worship. And it's a very long and a complicated passage. The altars and the tents and the laver and the incense altar and the table of showbread and the curtains and the hangings and so on. How God was to be worshipped and how the place of worship was to be constructed. Exceedingly complicated. And at the end of the details of the tabernacle, you read these words in Exodus 40 and verse 19. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And what happened was this. God showed him the blueprints of the tabernacle, the designs. And God said, this is the way I want it done. So Moses did it the way God wanted done. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. I wonder, you know, supposing the Lord could spread out in front of you this morning a blueprint of the way he wanted you to live. Supposing God were to spread out a map in front of you. And supposing God were to say to you, now, this is the geography of your life. And this is the way I want you to live. This is how I want you to live. And this is what I want you to be. And this is what I want you to do for me. Supposing in this blueprint, God was calling you, say, to a life of prayer, or to speak to someone for Christ's sake, or to be a Christian witness, or to write to a missionary. How many of you write to servants of Christ? Or to sing for Christ's sake, or to minister to someone in a special way for Christ's sake. Supposing God said, now this is the blueprint, this is the geography. Would you do what God told you to do? Would you be willing to follow the blueprint? Would you be prepared to order your life according to the word of the Lord? Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. That was how he lived. And that was how he died. Here's another illustration from Numbers chapter 3 and verse 51. Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. hammering home the point. This was his lifestyle. Here it is again, Numbers 4 and verse 49. According to the commandment of the Lord through Moses, thus they were numbered by him as the Lord commanded Moses. That was how the man lived, and that was how he ordered his life. And because he lived like this, that was how he died. Moses died according to the word of the Lord. And a quality of life like that, which was a life of faith and a life of obedience, is bound to be a life of power. You see, although we read over and over again in the Old Testament, Moses did according to the word of the Lord. Moses did according to the word of the Lord. It twice says, the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Now, can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine God paying heed to what a man says and doing what the man says? The Lord did according to the word of Moses. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 13, the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 20, God said, I have pardoned their sin according to your word. You see, if you live a life according to the word of the Lord, there will come times when God will listen to you and do according to your word. The phrase that springs to mind is the phrase prevailing prayer. Prayer that is answered by God. A man speaks to God and God gives the man his request. The Lord did according to the word of Moses. And I believe the secret of prevailing prayer is found in the 10th verse of chapter 34, where we read, there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Knowing God face to face. How can a man know God face to face? Isn't the God of the Bible ineffable? Isn't he invisible and unapproachable and inaccessible? How can a man know God face to face? Well, listen to these words from Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. Listen to these words. God said, hear my words. If there is a prophet amongst you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak with him in a dream. In other words, God speaks to ordinary prophets in dreams and in visions. These words, not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted with all my house, and with him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in dark speech. And he beholds the form of the Lord. And it is part of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you can come to know God like that. Face to face, mouth to mouth, God can speak to you like that. A Christian, says Paul, is someone who has seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the glory of the gospel that you can come to know God in this intimate and personal way. Why don't you come to Christ this morning? Why don't you come to Christ and learn to live your life according to the word of the Lord? What the gospel offers you is a first-hand knowledge of God, a one-to-one, man-to-man, face-to-face, mouth-to-mouth knowledge of the living God. Not second-hand religion. Second-hand religion will never get you to heaven. But a primary knowledge of God through the Lord Jesus Christ will get you to heaven when you die. Moses died according to the word of the Lord because he had lived according to the word of the Lord. I have come to the conclusion that most men die as they have lived. Generally speaking, unbelievers tend to die unbelievers. Generally speaking, those who are unconverted die unconverted. Generally speaking, those who live once born die once born. Now, of course, God can step in and God can save you in middle age or in old age. But in my experience, it is comparatively rare to find people turning to God in middle age and old age. That's why the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When you're still young, while you are still capable of being influenced, and while your mind and your character are still impressionable and open to God and open to Christ, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Come this morning to Jesus Christ and have a first-hand relationship with God, face-to-face, one-to-one, man-to-man, mouth-to-mouth. Come to Jesus Christ and learn to order your life according to the word of the Lord. And then when the time comes, whether you die young or old, it will be immaterial, because you can die as Moses died, according to the word of the Lord, safely and without fear, and you can die as he died, in the sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection to everlasting life. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the preaching of his word. To his name be the honor and the praise. Now we have three babies to baptize this morning, and so we sing hymn number 29. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. Number 29.